This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. Our broadcast is all about showing you the way to salvation in Jesus so you too may have eternal life, both now and on into life after physical death. We want to encourage you to become a true believer in Jesus Christ. Still, there are people who make a public statement of being a Christian and then years later announce that they were mistaken and are no longer a Christian. Our question today is, can Christian faith and genuine salvation be discarded and the gift of salvation become no longer effective? Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. John 6, verses 66 through 69. After this, many of his disciples quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." The question of whether a believer can become an unbeliever usually arises in an attempt to explain puzzling situations involving people we know. Someone who at one time made a profession of faith now denies the faith. By all outward appearances, he or she was a believer involved in church life and perhaps even in ministry. So what happened? Is this a case of a believer becoming an unbeliever? There are a number of prominent skeptics who started out as professing believers. Dan Barker, atheist and president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, started out as a minister and Christian musician. There are people who have made professions of faith, often as children, but years later maintain no faith in Christ. Whether they call themselves atheistic, agnostic, or simply uninterested, they have left the faith. So what are we to make of these people? Were they born-again believers at one time, and now they are unbelievers? There are a number of possibilities that are often suggested. The first possibility is to affirm that these people were and still are saved, born-again, made part of the body of Christ, and indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Since God's salvation is irreversible, once a person has been saved, he will always be saved, regardless of any future state of unbelief or disobedience. It seems that parents often take comfort in this idea, for even though a child may be walking far from the Lord, the parent holds on to a specific time and place where the child, quote, accepted Christ, unquote. The second possibility is to agree that these people were once true believers, but that when they stopped believing, they lost their salvation. All of God's blessings have been reversed. The former believers have become unbelievers and are therefore unsaved. The third possibility is that although these people may have given outward signs of having genuine faith, their subsequent choices and statements reveal that they were never true believers. No matter what they say now, they were never born again and sealed by the Holy Spirit. True believers may experience times of doubt, some uncertainty, disobedience, and momentary unbelief, but they will never renounce their faith. This idea is known as the perseverance of the saints. All who are truly saved will persevere, that is, continue in their faith, kept by the power of God. We can only know if a decision for Christ was genuine by the fruit that it produced. This is the approach that is most supported by Holy Scripture. Scripture and history are filled with examples of people who made an initial positive response to Christ, only to fall away later. In the parable of the sower and the seed, some of the seed sprung up quickly, only to wither away and be choked out by weeds. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. That's Matthew 13. But the seed, meaning the gospel, sown on good soil, brings forth fruit for harvest. In the initial stages, it might be very difficult to tell which plants will make it and which will not. Time reveals the truth. In John 6, Jesus calls himself the bread from heaven and makes some statements that were very hard to understand. Verse 66 says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." There were people who had identified themselves as followers of Jesus, but they turned back when Jesus said something they disliked. It was not that they lost salvation. They never had it to begin with. And this incident is what showed their true colors. Next, in John 6, Jesus comments on Peter and Judas Iscariot. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. At the time Jesus spoke these words, Peter and Judas looked very much alike. Both were disciples. On the night that Jesus was arrested, Peter and Judas looked very much alike. Both denied the Lord Jesus. A few days later, however, they showed themselves to be very different. Judas, overcome with remorse, did not seek repentance and forgiveness. He committed suicide, Matthew 27:5. Peter was filled with shame and wept bitterly, Matthew 26:75. 3 days later, Peter is still with the disciples and becomes an apostle of the risen Lord. Neither Judas nor Peter lost his salvation. Judas's true nature was that of an unbeliever. He liked Jesus well enough and dabbled with faith for a while, but he never really believed. We might say he only pretended to be a believer. Judas was the treasurer for the disciples, and John 12:6 tells us that he was dipping into the money for himself. Peter, on the other hand, for a short period of time, pretended to be an unbeliever. But over the course of time, his true, redeemed nature showed itself. First, John directly addresses the issue of professing believers who seem to become unbelievers. Some false teachers who had appeared to be true believers at one time were troubling the church. 1 John 2:19 explains, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us." Although those who departed the faith had appeared to be genuine at the time, John makes it clear that they never had actually been of us. One of the marks of a believer is that he continues with us. People may be able to fake it for a while, but they cannot sustain the part forever. The truth will eventually outlast their pretending. 1 John 3:9 says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God." A genuine believer is kept from falling into continuous sin because he has been born of God. God keeps him safe. A true believer may fall into disobedience and struggle with doubt, but a true believer will never renounce Christ. A person who has renounced Christ by his words or deeds has not lost salvation. Rather, he is demonstrating that he never had genuine faith to begin with. This is one reason why church discipline is so important. In Matthew 18, Jesus outlines the steps. If a person in the church sins, he should be confronted and given the chance to repent. Once all the steps in the process have been followed, and there is still no repentance from the person, then the unrepentant sinner is to be put out of the church and treated as an unbeliever. That's what it says in Matthew 18:15-17. This process is designed to press the unrepentant sinner to make a decision. Either he will see the error of his ways and be brought to his senses, or he will decide that the church and the Christian life are not that important and walk away. Either way, church discipline forces a person's true nature to come out. A genuine believer can never become an unbeliever because he or she has been born again by the Spirit of God. It is not one's faith that keeps one safe, but the power of God that enables continual faith. John 14:6, Jesus replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Titus 2:12-13 speaks about the grace of God, which trains us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age as we wait for the happy fulfillment of our hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Note this last phrase in verse 13 is a key reference in the Bible that refers explicitly to Jesus as God. Isaiah 44:6, this is what the Lord, Israel's King, says, "Their protector, the Lord of heaven's armies, I am the first and the last. There is no God but me." Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, "the one who is and who was and who is still to come, the all-powerful." My point with these verses is that there is no other God to go to. Isaiah 45:5 clearly states, "I am the Lord. There is no other. There is no God but me." In Acts 17:22-27, we read, "So Paul stood before the Areopagus, a government council, and said, 'Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in all aspects. For as I went around and observed closely your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship without knowing it, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives life and breath and everything to everyone. From one man he made every nation of the human race to inhabit the entire earth, determining their set times and fixed limits of the places where they should live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope around for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us." 1 Timothy 1:17 declares God as singular with this blessing, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from John chapter 10:27-30. Jesus is speaking, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand. The Father and I are one."